Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Sink of Truth podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Excited to share another round of conversations is part of Super Week, counting up to the game, counting down to the game, whichever you prefer. Make sure you don't wait till the last second to hit the grocery store if you need various ingredients for your Super Sunday sumptuous smorgasbord. Oh, how about that? That was impressive. We've got a supersized edition of Ask Amy Anything, last one of football season, which is significant because football season lasts for 6 months, going back to August. And so you can send your questions to producer Ryan at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. And we'll get to that coming up next hour here on the show. Still to come, former Bengals defensive back Solomon Wilcots, who's got a schedule that is impossible for the vast majority of people to maintain. He starts with his own show early morning on Sirius XM NFL Radio, and he was still holding court there on Radio Row about 12 hours later. So that type of indefatigable energy, but we always look forward to having him. And then as Wednesday dawns, it's National Girls and Women in Sports Day, which is one that I always highlight. Having played five different sports as a kid and then in high school, played basketball and softball in college. And now working in sports. So it matters to me. I had great opportunities and learned so much from my time playing sports, competing in sports, and a really neat guest, first time ever, Adrian Smith, who's not only an accomplished football player herself, but has a brand new business venture in which she's partnering with the NFL. So pretty neat. We'll talk to Adrian in our final hour from New Orleans as well. But we like to add to our list of Hall of Famers, and Tuesday was an opportunity to catch up with one who was inducted in 2009 and won a Super Bowl in Baltimore.
For the tie, the two-point conversion. Lamar takes the snap, rolls to the right, throws, complete, no!
He dropped it!
Mark Andrews hit him in the hands! And Mark Andrews dropped it as he fell into the end zone.
After Hours tackles the Big Bowl in the Big Easy, all week long on the Infinity Sports Network.
Oh, yes, for the voice god, that's what we're doing. We're getting ready for Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. And Rod Woodson, an opportunity to catch up with him on Tuesday. It's a gathering of Hall of Famers, which is cool. They always wear their gold jackets there on Radio Row and around the city. And he had a chance to play in Pittsburgh for many years, but won a Super Bowl with the Ravens. So interesting collection of fan bases there for Rod. I asked him, Rod, what do you remember most from your former Super Bowl experiences and Super Week?
The ultimate goal is to win that Super Bowl, right? So you play that whole year in the hope of getting the opportunity to be the best in the world at playing American football. And it's kind of a blur because when you first come in, you're there the first day, and then they start bringing the families in. And when they start bringing the families in, that's when it kind of goes faster because you are getting pulled from multiple positions in multiple ways. Because family members, maybe people you haven't seen, but then even your close-knit family is still wanting to probably do things. So I think that's a part of it. But I think the bigger part of it is the media obligations that every player has to go through, which, yeah, you got to go through media obligations normally during the week, but it's at a new scale once the Super Bowl gets there because the whole world is watching. And the whole world who really follows American football, they're going to be sending somebody there to talk to players in some capacity. So it's just more in-depth conversations throughout the whole week. And I think that was probably the biggest surprise when I first went to my first one in 95. But learning the game itself. So once the game starts, you just say, hey, this is, it's played the same amount of time. It's a longer halftime. The field is the same size. Everything else is the same. The rules are the same. So you just can't get, we call it emotionally hijacked when you're starting to get ready for this thing and get too nervous to go play the big game.
You were later in your career when you won the Super Bowl with the Ravens. What did it mean to you after the years that you had poured into the game to finally be at the pinnacle of your sport?
It's the ultimate goal to win the Super Bowl. And, you know, we had multiple really good teams in Pittsburgh. We can never get over the hump. You know, we went to the one. We lost an AFC championship game to San Diego in 94. We go there in 95. The same year I hurt my knee and blew it out, but I still got to come back and play in my first Super Bowl. I got about 15, 16 plays. So to get to Baltimore and to kind of where we started in 98 to where we finished in 2000 for being the Super Bowl victor, it was a long journey. I think a lot of things happened over that course of time in a 2.5 year period, but it was well worth it because when the confetti's yours, when it falls down and it's yours and you know you've been the best, there's nothing like it.
We're spending a few minutes with Hall of Fame cornerback and Super Bowl 35 champ Rod Woodson. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Very disappointing for the Ravens this year. And the turnovers, I think, would haunt me. But what will you take away from that game? Another season for the Ravens in which they come real close, but just not quite able to get over the hump.
You can't turn the ball over in postseason. I mean, obviously, it's glaring in any game, even the first game of the year. But once you get to the postseason, you're playing better teams, the best teams in the league. You just can't turn the ball over. And once you have those turnovers, the likelihood of winning decreases. And you know, that's the saddest thing because when I was going into that week, I'm like, man, these guys have got the best offense in the league by far all year long. Defensively, since the bye week, since week 11, they were just playing at a very high level. I just thought it was their year. And but when you turn the ball over, it's not your year. You just can't, you know, do that and think you're going to win football games, especially when the narrow when the margin is very narrow, playing against the best teams in the postseason.
Derrick Henry, an incredible addition to that backfield. But how did that change life for Lamar Jackson?
I think we all saw Lamar at a different light. He could still run, right? We saw that when he had to, but Lamar didn't have to be Superman anymore. And I think that's the key. Like Lamar didn't have to be the leading passer, the leading rusher. He didn't have to do all of it. He handed that ball off to Derrick, and when he wanted to run the ball, yes, he did, but he threw the ball extremely well all year long. He was very good decision-making all year long, didn't throw a lot of interceptions, didn't make a lot of bad decisions and making turnovers, having, you know, over 40 touchdown passes, only had, I think, 4 interceptions during the regular season. I mean, that growth, I still think there's more growth in him because I think he's still learning because before Todd Monken came in, Lamar Jackson didn't make checks at the line of scrimmage. Whatever the play was called, it was called. So he has learned over the last couple of years under Todd, like how to read the defenses, how to see it, how to make the adjustments, how to make the checks. So I still think there's growth in Lamar. And, you know, him losing that weight this year to get faster again, it just adds another headache for all defense coordinators in the National Football League. But I still see a lot of great things from Lamar. I don't think the window's closed. I don't think it's closed at all for this football team because Lamar's so young and Derrick Henry, I still think he has a lot in his tank. And if the defense can come back the way it finished, this is going to be a very scary team starting the 2025 season.
Another similar story with the Eagles as they're in New Orleans and they add Saquon Barkley to their backfield. They rediscover this identity. The coaching staff seems to be intact now, or I guess more stable, along with Nick Sirianni. From a defensive perspective, Rod, how in the world do you start to contain that run game or limit Saquon Barkley?
Right. I mean, isn't it funny how when your players play really good, your coaches get better? Isn't that crazy?
Amazing.
But first of all, shame on the Giants for letting a running back like Barkley. You got to think about the top 3 running backs in the National Football League this year played on different teams last year. For some odd reason, NFL coaches or general managers, I'm not really sure who is making those decisions. They don't value running backs that at a high level. But when you have one like a Derrick Henry, and you have one like Mr. Barkley and Josh Jacobs, you can't substitute that. The pass game starts with the run game, but Barkley is very Barry Sanders-ish to me when I watch him play. Because Barry Sanders is the only running back we ever game planned for, saying we had to do certain things because he was so talented. He has such great vision and he can cut on a dime. And I think Barkley is so much like that. He's not Barry Sanders, but he's so much like that. And his speed, once he gets outside, I think their legs, they both had big legs and all that stuff. They made people miss in space. But adding that dynamic to the Philadelphia Eagles offense, think about the first drive in the championship game when they ran that little toss, broke two tackles, and took it, what was that, 65, 70 yards, whatever that was? That is what he has brought to the football team. And when you can run the football and defensively like they are with Vic Fangio, their defensive front, when you can run the football and stop the run, you can win a lot of football games in the National Football League, and you can win the Super Bowl that way.
So then how does Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense counter that weapon?
Well, Steve's going to do what he does. I mean, he blitzes about 25% of the time. I think the biggest question is, how does Jalen Hurts handle the pressure that Coach Spagnuolo is going to give him throughout the whole game? That's going to be the question, because if on first and second down, in critical moments, he's coming. Everybody knows it. You know it. I know it. They know it. So the question is, how can they handle? Are they going to have smoke screens, bubble screens? Are they going to quick intermediate passes? You know, are you going to try to get by right behind the blitz to take advantage of that? And if they can do that consistently, if they can do that well sporadically throughout the game, you kind of like your chances with Philly, just for the fact because their defense plays fast. And when you can run the football, I just don't know if I like Kansas City's defense. I think they've been really, really good throughout the year. I mean, at the beginning of the year, they were outstanding. I think they kind of fell back just a little bit. But I think that's going to be the biggest matchup. If they can't stop Mr. Barkley from running the football, and Jalen Hurts can take advantage of Steve Spagnuolo bringing his blitzes, it can be a nice little day for Philly, kind of taking away that three-peat.
Hall of Fame cornerback and Super Bowl champion Rod Woodson with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. You know the Chiefs have this knack for somehow snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. I've said for the last, oh gosh, couple of years, they're the toughest out in sports. What impresses you most about the way that they manage everyone taking their best shot at them?
They are blessed. Whoever decided to draft Patrick Mahomes, genius. He should have won the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, absolutely genius. Think about all the deficiencies they've had all year long. The team masked those. And now you got your speed back. Now you got Brown back, right? Along with Worthy. So you got two speed guys sitting there. You got Hopkins being there. You got one of the top best tight ends in the history of football there. But the key for these guys is 15. When they weren't playing great football on offense, he would make one or two plays every single game, and they would win. And defensively, they've been solid throughout the whole year. I think Steve Spagnuolo has done a tremendous job with these guys. And for me, I just think 15 is that guy. He is that guy just as all the negative, any weakness that they did have, he always masked it because he's always found a way to do something right inside of the game. Think about all the different plays, the underhand throws, the flip pass right down the field, not like it's a flip pass to a running back, it's a flip pass to the tight end or receiver down the field. Andy Reid allows it. That's what I love about their coaching staff. They allow their players to be themselves inside of their system as long as they don't go rogue. And that, to me, is great coaching. Great coaches can allow their players to be themselves inside of their systems because that's when you're comfortable. When you're comfortable, when you're yourself, wherever you might be. And for the players, it's on the playing field. And Andy Reid has done a tremendous job when he was at Philly, but definitely since he's been in Kansas City, of allowing his guys to be themselves when they step on the field.
Rod, I have to tell you a funny story. On Tuesday morning, as I was talking with my producer about our schedule, our interviews during the Super Bowl week, my friend Boomer Esiason, former NFL MVP, was walking by. We see each other every morning. He's starting his show as I'm finishing mine. And he heard me say your name, Rod Woodson. And he said right away, make sure you tell Rod, I think that he is the best defensive back in NFL history because he was good at multiple positions. He wanted me to make sure I pass that message along to you, Rod.
Tell Boomer, I definitely appreciate it, man. Love playing against him. I thought he was probably the best for in my time frame that I played against. He was the best play action quarterback that I ever played against. A couple times he would duck with the ball, and I couldn't even see him back there. And he's a lot taller than I thought he was, but you couldn't see the guy, and he would throw the ball down the field. So I definitely appreciated the compliment, and he was an outstanding player himself.
I'll make sure I tell him that. Also, I saw recently on your social media, you had a chance to address prospects, potential pro players at the Senior Bowl. What type of wisdom do you share with them when you have the opportunity?
The biggest thing I gave them is that, you know, this gravy train that you want to be on is 105 years old. This is the 105th year for the National Football League as we know it, and they don't need you. I was being honest, like they don't need you, but they will take you. They want your talent. They want to hone you. They want you to be inside of it, but they don't need the headaches unless you have your talent level. Your production is so high, they'll take you until. And the second biggest thing I told them is that, you know, what's going to differentiate you between all the other guys who play in the National Football League? So you got to work in the dark and you got to work on your craft, and your craft has to be important to you where you take it serious. It's not that you leave, you're the last one in and you're first one out. You should be the first one there and the last one out. And then in the off season, yeah, you got OTAs and all that stuff, but you should still be working to hone your craft and to get your body ready for a long, grueling season. I mean, 17 weeks is a long time in the National Football League. And sooner or later, they're going to put 18 games into it. It's going to be even longer. So they got to make sure that they're doing everything the right way. So I think that was the biggest take for me, was like just trying to hit them with reality and to make sure they can try to find their greatness and be more of a professional than an amateur.
And it's not just the toll that it takes over the course of that year, but also has lasting effects for the rest of your life. And I know you're open about some of the chronic knee pain that you deal with, Rod. How do you manage that now post-playing career?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's like when you're young and you're vibrant, you first come into the league, you think you can't get hurt. I'm like a superhero. I can't get hurt. In 89, my second year, third year, going into my third year in the league, I had a chondral defect in my left knee. And then about 5, 6, 7 years later, I tore my ACL. And now I have osteoarthritis in my knees. And you know, that's that lasting effect of playing for 17 years. You know, Nick, you really don't know how you want to handle it, but I know one thing I didn't want to do is I didn't want to be on opioids. I didn't want to be on painkillers.
Yes.
I want to be on something that can give me an opportunity to still be myself, but and be around my kids and be around my grandkids, and to still have the life that I would want to have by either walking around playing golf, going swimming, going fishing, whatever it might be. I think that was the biggest thing I was looking forward to. And then, obviously, I felt a long-lasting pain relief that was non-opioid use, and I've been using it ever since. So a company called Pacera has a product inside of their system called Zoretta, and I've been using that for the last 5 years, giving me much relief in my joints and my knees, where I can still walk around and work out and be with my grandkids and walk around the neighborhood with my wife and my dogs. It's been very rewarding. And when I first got done and my knees started hurting, I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do? One of my really good buddies of mine that I played with introduced me to Zoretta and Pacera, and I've been with them ever since.
Well, if people are interested and want to find out more, how can they do that?
The biggest thing is to go to Pacera.com, And that's PACIRA.com. They have multitude of medicines to use. And I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, it's been a blessing to me and what I wanted to do and what I want to be. Every athlete who gets done playing, always we all ask each other, how you feeling? Mm-hmm. How your body feel? And I can honestly say my body feels great because I started using this.
Just having worked in the business for as long as I have, you encounter a lot of pro athletes. They're limping. They're dealing with that pain for the rest of their lives. So the fact that you're able to live a quality life post-playing career is great news. So I'm glad people have an option. They can check this out. Rod, does it ever blow you away when you see the scope and the scale of the NFL these days?
No. I mean, it's they're a great machine. They have a great product. People love American football. Just think about everything they do is an event, right? I mean,
right.
Back in the day when I came out and we had the combine was in Indy. The very first year, matter of fact, it was in Indy. I was there. And now they sell tickets. It was like a one-day event, two-day event, three-day event, something like that. And now it's like a week-long event, right? So everything is an event for the NFL. They sell events. They don't sell, you know, like an individual event. They sell weeks, like right. blocks. And that's why they've been so popular. You know, it's rare that you get to go see guys work out and train or at least prepare to even go into the draft. They're not even drafted yet. And people are buying tickets to go see those guys at the combine. And I think that's the momentum that the NFL has, and they have captivated that. By going around the league, or excuse me, around the world and the different countries to play American football, because almost every country plays American football, and they know that, and they've captivated, I think, all the audiences around the world to have eyes on when the games are played, no matter where they're at.
Well, especially this coming weekend, a game that will have hundreds of millions of people paying attention across the globe. He's a Super Bowl champion, a Hall of Fame cornerback. You can also hear him on Ravens Radio in Baltimore. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. Enjoy this week.
I definitely appreciate it, and hopefully I'll see you in New Orleans.
It's always easy to spot the Hall of Famers on Radio Row, whether New Orleans or any other city, because I think it's a... pinky swear, you got to wear your gold jacket. Every now and then I'll see one who's carrying it, not wearing it. I don't know if it doesn't fit or if he happens to be too warm inside the convention center, but it definitely is easy to spot them. And it's really neat when they see one another and they're able to reconnect with fellow Hall of Famers. It's a very elite club, as it should be. Shouldn't be easy to join that fraternity. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Rod Woodson. My first time talking to him. I know he's very familiar to those of you who listen in Baltimore because he's part of Ravens Game Day Radio and also Steelers fans. I know many of you think fondly of him. I loved his reaction to me telling him what Boomer Esiason said about him. That was really cool. In fact, I'm going to actually have to cut that snippet and share it with Boomer so that he can hear it too. We've still got Solomon Wilcots, former, actually, Boomer Esiason teammate and former Cincinnati Bengal DB. He's in New Orleans already, always has a busy schedule, very passionate about helping people physically live their best lives. And then in our final hour, she's a member of the Boston Renegades. Maybe you've not heard of them. They are a women's tackle football team. She's got multiple championships as well as gold medals. This is a very accomplished football player, but her new passion is introducing young people, kids, to the game, and she's got a unique way to do it. So I'm excited to talk to Adrian Smith, even as we launch forward into National Girls and Women in Sports Day, which is Wednesday, February 5th. Perfect, because of some of the events that are taking place in New Orleans. 855-212-4227 at A Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's the Hump Show here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's not Super Bowl food, unless, of course, you need it to be Super Bowl food. But last weekend, I did have to bake in honor of our Survivor Island winner. Now, he called a couple weeks ago, but we've been in communication. I wanted to make sure before football season ended, so I procrastinated right up to the end, right up to the deadline, the wire, if you will. But his name is Pat. He listens on a regular basis in Florida. Pat, if you're listening this morning, Florida morning, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. He requested gluten-free cookies, which I've never made before. And I really had no idea where to start. Now, I'd seen some of the notifications or notes online that you can just sub in gluten-free flour for regular flour and do the recipe all the same. This is kind of goofy. As my husband and I were moving him after we got married from Texas to New Jersey, so this is late 2023, my mom and I were responsible for packing up his kitchen. And we came across a package of almond flour. It wasn't open. I asked him, what's this for? Well, apparently he went through a keto phase. So he was planning on making some type of a cracker that used almond flour, but he quickly got off the keto diet and never used it. So I had this package of almond flour. It's been sitting in our cupboard now for well over a year. So I decided I would find a cookie recipe using almond flour. They're not terrible. So I, of course, had to taste test them. The interesting thing is there was no sugar other than brown sugar. So no added sugar in the cookie recipe, just brown sugar, which I like. I put in my oatmeal and sometimes in my coffee. And there were, you could pick whatever chocolate chip you wanted. So I picked semi-sweet chocolate chips, which aren't as sweet as, say, a milk chocolate or a white chocolate. So I wouldn't say they're sweet cookies, but sometimes that sweet and salty type of taste definitely don't rise. So that's the difference about almond flour, is it doesn't rise. They're flatter, like mini pancakes. No, they rose a little bit, but not much. They more spread instead of rise, but they're not terrible. So I'm going to send them to Pat and his wife. She's not gluten-free, but I'm sending him gluten-free cookies because that's what he requested. And we'll see what type of a reaction we get. But he won Survivor Island. He lasted to week 16. It was he and another woman named Lauren, and he finally beat out. I think he won on Miami in week 16. So Pat, congratulations again. I did make your cookies. They'll be in the mail, I swear. I'm going to send them priority Wednesday or Thursday, whenever I can get to the post office. But I hope you like them. I can't wait to get your full report. So yes, my first job, my first time baking with anything gluten-free, but definitely first time making anything with almond flour. Coming up, we've got your latest edition of QB News. Why do you care? Well, Kirk Cousins speaking out for the first time in the wake of what was a disastrous second half as the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. And what does his future hold? Plus, if you did not see Jameis Winston holding court on opening night, the man's on a mission. 855-212-4227. An hour from now, ask Amy anything. So send your questions to our show Twix at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it caught? Oh my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it! Touchdown, LA!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City.
Hand off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We have compiled some great quarterback audio from the last few days, even going back to the Pro Bowl festivities. But of course, we're focused on the two Super Bowl quarterbacks as they get ready for Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. A lot of people wanting to know what the word legacy means to Patrick Mahomes, because there is some incredible history on the line here, and he's the only one that's within shouting distance of Tom Brady, but he really deflects with the L word.
I just want to be remembered as one of the greatest teams of all time at the end of the day, and I know how blessed I am to be in Kansas City and the people that I have around me, coaches and players, and so I'm more focused on leaving an imprint on the Kansas City Chiefs and how we are remembered for the rest of time.
Well, if it's not the L word, then it's the V word being thrown about. We heard Travis Kelce respond to questions about the Chiefs as villains. What about Mahomes? How does it feel to be the villain, with my air quotations?
I don't know if it motivates me. I think I'm so motivated by just the success that we have together as a team. I know that the guys on our team, how much they love football and how much work they put in on every single day basis. And so when we step on that football field, we're going to come together as a brotherhood and as a family and just play our best football and live with the results after. So it's not like I'm embracing the villain or doing anything like that.
Embrace the suck. It's not like I'm embracing the villain. If you're wondering, his favorite coach, his head coach, Andy Reid, has indicated he will return at least one more season for this incredible job working with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, future Hall of Famers. He says, I enjoy being around the guys. I enjoy the games. You can't put in the hours that we do and not enjoy it. So, yes, he's confirmed he'll be around for at least 2025, though he's not said he's retiring after that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jalen Hurts on the other end. Of course, people doubting him and his passing abilities with the return of the dominant run game for Philly.
It's not about them. It's always about the work you put in and everything being a reflection of the work. And so I've always had a focus on myself and trying to improve and ultimately wanting to beat the opponent, whoever's in front of you. But just trying to improve and take it a day at a time.
He has admitted that losing in the Super Bowl 3 years ago, or I guess it was 2 years ago, three seasons ago, left him with a fire that was lit and has not yet been put out. So here's his opportunity, along with the Eagles, who have an incredible offense, again, predicated on the run game, but also a defense that's playing well. Lots of doubters around Kirk Cousins. Did you like my pivot there? His first season with the Atlanta Falcons started out fairly well, but it went off the rails quickly. He was a guest on NFL Network's Good Morning Football on Tuesday, and he actually said he took a rough hit during the team's Week 10 game against the Saints that left him dealing with injuries the rest of the season.
We were 6-3, was playing well, doing a lot of good things, even if the right ankle wasn't perfect. You know, nobody's perfect in this league. We're never feeling 100%. It didn't really affect me too much, but then against the Saints, got hit pretty good in my right shoulder and elbow. And from there, kind of dealing with that, it was something I was working through and just never really could get it to where I wanted it. And so now the season's over, you have the time and the energy to say, okay, let's get the right ankle back. Let's get the shoulder back. Let's get the elbow back. And if we can do that, feel like I got a new life ahead of me here in pro football.
Well, the Falcons lost that game against the Saints in Week 10 and ended up losing four in a row. So they went from being 6-3 to 6-7, and he was then benched in favor of Michael Penix. Now, he was asked about his future, and he started with, some perspective on his career.
I used to ask this question to coaches, like, hey, do I need to be a scrambler to be able to make it in this league long term? Yeah. And coaches would always say, Kirk, you have to be able to throw from the pocket with accuracy no matter what. And while the ability to scramble and do other things is a nice trait to have, ultimately the whole thing is built on, can you from the pocket throw with accuracy and make great decisions? And so that really is the trait we all have to have. And so that's kind of always been what I lean on. But I still think I got good football left in me. And, time will tell. It's still kind of uncertain. We'll get to March and know a lot more. I think the focus for me really is getting healthy. I'm no good to the Falcons. I'm no good to a team if I'm not feeling really good. And so that's really where my focus has been through January and February. Now that the season's wound down, really taking all the time I can to get my body feeling really good.
First time I've heard Kirk Cousins answer any questions about his future. He does not sound like he is in any way thinking about walking away, just wants to be healthy, and then what's the next step? So that's Kirk Cousins on Good Morning Football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. He previously played in the NFC North. I suppose there's a chance he could return there. I've got most of their quarterbacks lined up and a rookie for the Vikings. Jared Goff, as you can imagine, still thinking about that loss to the Commanders as the Lions had the 5 turnovers in the divisional round.
You know what, you know, went wrong or went right. And yeah, there's certain things you'd like to fix and clean up, and we will. You know, you're still early in the offseason, but a lot of work to be done, and I'm excited for some of the new guys on the staff and where we can go from here.
One of those new guys is offensive coordinator John Morton, who gets promoted to replace Ben Johnson, who ultimately took the job as the new Chicago Bears head coach.
We were together in 2022. He was an assistant on our staff and has done it before, has been a coordinator before, has a lot of experience in our league, been around a lot of great coaches. I'm excited to work with him and see where we can go.
Okay, sorry. That was Jared Goff on the new OC, John Morton. But he also had some kind words to say about Ben Johnson.
He's a hell of a coach. He's a guy that's made a ton of difference in my career. And I'm obviously a big fan of his. And I was joking with him. I wish he didn't have to be in our division, so I didn't have to try to beat him twice a year. But no, he's going to do a great job. And hopefully not too good, though, you know, with us being in the division together still. But I'll always be a fan of his, and we'll always have a good relationship.
From one offensive coordinator to another, who, again, as you hear him talk about, John is stepping into that role, but is not unfamiliar with the Lions, having worked on the offensive staff. Okay, so now thinking about the Vikings, who you remember won 14 games. They did it with Sam Darnold. He's a free agent. They expect to elevate J.J. McCarthy. Justin Jefferson, like Jared Goff, part of the Pro Bowl festivities, getting interviewed as part of SiriusXM NFL Radio. And he was asked about Sam Darnold and the fit with the Vikings this season.
I feel like our building is just so together. I mean, everybody on our team was just focused on one another. We just bonded together. It was so different than any other year. So that's why we felt majority of the time that, you know, this year was going to be that year that we was going to, you know, flip the table and work our way to a Super Bowl. But, you know, we did a great job and we did, you know, steps towards that. But there's definitely, you know, room that we still need to do. But for Sam to come in with the career that he had, for him to be clear-minded and still have that confidence to go out there and perform every single game. So, you know, we just needed to surround him with some weapons and some guys that can make something with the ball work. So
it definitely worked. 103 catches for Justin Jefferson, more than 1,500 yards, so his total second in the NFL this season. He had 10 touchdowns, and what an impact, regardless of who's throwing him the ball. And it's been, yeah, different quarterbacks along the way. He's about to have another one potentially in 2025. So again, from SiriusXM and the Pro Bowl festivities, hearing from some of those guys in the NFC North. Now, Jameis Winston, he's no longer a member of the Cleveland Browns. Instead, he's working for Fox Sports at the Super Bowl, and he's making quite a point to network while he's on the ground, including opening night where he had this exchange with Saquon Barkley.
In this free agency, man, I'm a free agent. I really don't got no job. Who should sign me in free agency?
I think New York need a quarterback right now.
New York, who?
The Giants.
Okay, brother, yeah, thank you. I'll give him a call.
Right. Yeah.
Do you think?
For sure.
A little bit of poke at the Giants by Saquon Barkley. He's sitting up there on a pedestal as part of opening night at Super Week. And Jameis Winston says, I'm a free agent. Who should sign me? And he says, New York, the Giants, which I guess to be fair, both the Jets and the Giants could use quarterbacks. Sorry, that's really funny. So Jameis was, he was really the belle of the ball there on opening night. We'll hear a little bit more with him. There's actually a funny exchange with Cooper Manning, who was dressed up like a drum major, or I don't know. He was dressed up in marching band, marching band gear. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, coming up at the top here, we've got a conversation with our friend Solomon Wilcotts. I asked him, he's in New Orleans, I asked him about Myles Garrett and how the Browns should handle Myles Garrett. And speaking of Myles, we'll see what happens with the Browns and whether or not they acquiesce to his trade request. But something I came across on social on Tuesday that we'll have to let you hear. I don't know who the New Day is, but Ryan has informed me it's a tag team in WWE. I mean, I could tell by the arena and the clip that they were playing. They roasted Cleveland and made a reference to Myles Garrett on Monday night. Ouch. If you haven't heard it, just wait. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.